This is an interview with Nikki Jackson on Friday, 8th of June 2012. The interview is for the purposes of the Aharu Valley Oral History Project, and this is for Wellington City Libraries. The interviewer is Rebecca Chilton, and the interview is being recorded at Nikki's home in the Aharu Valley. The recording equipment is a Marantz solid-state recorder, and this is track one. So Nikki, tell me about how long your family have been in the Aharu Valley for.
I'm the sixth generation in the Aharu Valley of my of them owning the farm here. And basically they came on the first boat into Petone, and in the 1900s they bought a land out here. So yeah, the sixth generation myself, my children the seventh generation.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So you have obviously a very strong connection to the valley.
Definitely.
Yeah. What sorts of things sort of stand out for you as a child knowing about that history that you've got here?
Just enjoying the country, enjoying the land and making sure that it stays in the family. Even with Guild, quite dedicated towards that, just, I just enjoy living out here. And it's very dear to me, a Aharu Valley as a home and the history of the valley. You know, a lot of people come in, buy and then leave, whereas I hope that my children can grow up down here themselves, well, have families down here themselves.
And you've always lived yourself in the valley? You've never moved away?
No, I left at 18 and went to Australia, and then that's when I actually missed living on a farm in the valley. I very much missed it, and came back to Wellington 11 years later, married with two children. And then a few years, we've lived in the valley as a family, my immediate family, for 8 years now.
And what were some of the things that you missed most, or some of the things that came clear to you when you were away from the valley, about how special it is?
Just the space and the privacy, not having a neighbour, someone right next door to you looking in through your windows. Netting curtains I hate, and we don't have some here. Just that freedom of getting out and even horse riding. I remember going in Australia, my husband paid for me for my birthday to go for a horse riding trip, and it wasn't even the same getting on a horse, and we walked around Centennial Park, and it wasn't like jumping on a horse and riding up over the hills. Even the farm meat, just the freedom, really.
So you were telling me just before about your experiences riding a horse around here when you were a child. What was that like?
It was fun. I didn't own, my horse was never shod like they are these days. I didn't own a cover for my horse. You just went out in the paddock. I'd finished school or college and I'd go out in the paddock, catch my horse with the bridle, jump on my horse and just go for a hoon on it, ride anywhere and everywhere. I probably wouldn't do it now, go up over the hill and down the places that I rode. I'd saved up $400 and bought myself a saddle, probably at about 12 years old. I'd borrowed saddles before that. I'd had four horses in my time, and basically they're all farm given in the valley from farmers that didn't want their horse anymore or would pass on, you know, their children had outgrown the pony, so you would get it, and they're amazing horses, amazing.
So do you remember your first horse? Do you remember the day you got it?
I think I was 5 years old. His name was Trixie, and he's a bit higher than a Shetland. He was 13 hands high. I he might have been even smaller than that. I could actually, by the time he was passed on, I got him from the Bess, and they are another farming generation, and their daughters had outgrown him. I could actually piggyback, do a leapfrog on from his back onto him. I think his name was Trixie, because you'd actually ride along, gallop along, he'd stop, put his head down, and you'd fall straight off the front. My parents always says you can't be a good rider until you've fallen off over 100 times, and I can assure you I have in my lifetime. I think up till probably 12 years old I'd fallen off over 100 times. Yeah, he was a really neat little pony, and I can remember the cross country at Pony Club. I was probably 6, 7, and winning, getting first place on him. And my mum said, and it was actually across the road from where we lived, the Pony Club started there at the Bess, where Robert and Denise Bess live at the moment. It was in their paddock. And I remember hooning around the course. Mum said I had no fear whatsoever. I think she looked away many a times, and I can remember my first ribbon. I was quite pleased with that, and went on from there. Yeah.
But did you have a lot of freedom growing up? All the space around you, and
a lot. We really didn't watch a lot of TV. We probably didn't get TV till we were older. We just got home and would ride our horse, and well, I'd ride my horse, my brothers, or we'd go possum hunting. My brothers made a lot of money skinning possums and getting all that. Yeah, we were really just, we'd get home and we were out of the house. We'd eat something and we'd go until it was dark, every day. And I can remember weekends, Mum would have probably 10 times as much washing, because we'd come home muddy as anything, and we'd undress and put on another set of clothes and go out the door. And we'd wander to anywhere, you know, miles down the road to see our friend, and maybe have lunch down there. I remember down Boom Rock, the last house, and they had a big hay shed, and we'd go and make tunnels in the hay. I mean, now you wouldn't even dream of that, and it'd be quite dangerous. I don't think I'd, you know, this big huge shed stacked with thousands of bales of hay, and we'd pull out ones in the middle and make all these tunnels, and yeah, a big cave probably a mile away, and it was full of wetters, and we'd go in there and be fascinated with these wetters, get our torches. We'd even walk over to Johnsonville, and just over the hill over here, Churton Park wasn't there, and we'd go, there was a tunnel underneath the motorway, and we'd just walk through, it's a water tunnel or something, I think it's blocked up now, and we'd walk through there and walk up to the dairy, get some lollies, and come home. Yeah, we just went out of the house, and my parents didn't even wonder or ask where we'd gone. Or I remember going eeling with my cousin, and it was up past Boom Rock, and we went miles away, and it was actually down into the gully, and we caught this huge eel. Absolutely, it was like a conger eel, we thought, but it probably wasn't that big, but because we were young, we would have thought it was, no doubt, but I'd say it was very fat. And we dragged it up the hill. We were so wrapped with ourselves, we dragged it up the hill, up to the road, and then my cousin ran home, probably 3 miles down the road, 3 k's down the road, and got her mum to come with the car to pick us up with the eel, because there's no way we could have dragged it home. It was that heavy and that big. My cousin lived my auntie and uncle lived next door to us, and then my grandfather lived next door to them. So we had a family, we were living, and we didn't live in each other's pockets, but we had a lot of fun and saw them all the time. Now my children have the same. They have their auntie and uncle and their grandparents here, and both my brothers with their families are here. And it's just nice to know there's family around and security.
And what sorts of things did you learn about the life and the history of the valley from your family when you were growing up? What things did they pass on?
History, probably my brothers learned a lot more than I did. All I knew that we were the sixth generation. My older brother is the farmer and will be gifted the farm as such, or given. My young brother, the golf course. It's sort of passed down more through, in my parents' generation, my dad, my grandfathers. It's the men that learn more of the history. It's changed a lot now, but it is even in my parents' generation as such. History, I would probably have learned more about the history coming back with my family than I did growing up as such. The church, I know a lot about that, and the graves, and the the families buried down there, the big Totara pit that's still up on the hill, and I've ridden up on the hill and shown my daughter that, where they chopped down a tree, they'd done dug a pit, and then they sawed it by hand. There's one up on Dad's farm, right up high.
When would that have been done, roughly?
I would say the start of the... I don't know. It would have been years and years ago when they first moved to the valley. I know that it was full of gorse, a lot of the land around here, and even today, my father nearly every weekend, goes out spraying, and there was a lot of shrub. They had to clear a lot of the bush, and it was bush gorse and everything. And so I'm not. It would have been the first generation, I would say. Yeah.
And what sorts of things would you learn from the woman around you growing up?
My mum stayed at home, and I probably learned that because I know I did that with my children until they went to school. I was a stay-at-home mum. Cooking, mum did all the woman things, I suppose. I remember her old washing machine. That was I'd help with the washing, and it was it was electric, but you had to still put it through the spinning thing or something. And gardening, I learned from my mother, yeah.
And I know the Ahuru Valley Ladies Guild has always been a strong component of the community here. So you saw a lot of that around you growing up?
Yes, my mum, my Nana was in it. It started in 1957, in May 1957, and I know that '55. So my Nana was one of the first, and my mother went through it, and they had some great, I can remember them leaving the house, and mum dressed up, and I can remember her practicing with belly dancing or faces on, and they had a brilliant time with the guild and met a lot of women in the valley. And then I, a few years ago, became president of the guild myself. So when I moved to the valley, I joined on the committee, and then became president and has had some great times, and it's nice just being part and making sure that the history is still in the valley of that and it stays, you know. And there are a lot of lots of women in the valley come to Guild at different times or depending on what's on, and just making sure that they realise that this is quite historic and quite special. It is very extremely special. There's not many guilds around that have gone on for that long, and we've got books, the first handwritten book. Now everything's computerised, and but we do copy all our things onto discs now, our work, and put into our big fireproof box, and whoever's president takes this box. And yeah, it's interesting reading even the first book of the Harry Valley Ladies Guild.
Anything in particular that stands out that you have read in there that you remember?
It was just just having a biscuit and a cup of tea or something, you know, and a box of it. And it's changed quite a lot from probably them sitting around doing the knitting and things, and whereas now we'd have wine at things and nice food and maybe have garden tours and beauty things. Back in those days, it'd be more sitting down and having a cup of tea and just getting to know your neighbour, whereas we now have something each month that people may be interested to come and see, or a speaker or something. So yeah,
very important though. And is that something when you came back into the valley that you knew you wanted to be actively involved with the guild coming back?
Yes, I did, and I think my mum still goes to it each month, and I think, yeah, it was, and it's made it more special being on the committee, and just some people aren't interested that have come into the valley, and to me, it's very important to me, it's very historic, it's something that needs to keep there, whereas, you know, and it's hard, whereas some people, it's like, it's just these women that get to talk or something, but it's not, it's keeping that historic, keeping history somewhere in the valley, because if it stops, then that's it, that's the end, the final of Guild as such. So yeah, it was, the more times that I went to Guild, the more, you know, and then I ended up jumping into being president, which I didn't want to, so it even made it more, but I'm not president now, I'm treasurer actually, so I've stepped down one.